Welcome back into Carpenter and Rothman. Anthony Rothman, Bobby Carpenter, and we welcome to the show on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline from ESPN, ESPN.com, senior writer Seth Wickersham. Seth, good to have you.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thank you, guys. Boy,
I really, and I think everyone really enjoyed the story that you wrote the other day for ESPN.com, and boy, it really ties so much together in this Bill and Tom stew. There's so much to get to. It's certainly a bombshell story, but let me take you back because I think you probably deserve some credit here because I know you wrote about this in 2018, in early 2018, when you were kind of detailing the disconnect between Tom Brady and Belichick and even Robert Kraft and the whole organization, and it was the beginning of the end, right when you titled it correctly. So I'll ask you, what's the largest percentage that you put on the split? Why did it happen?
Honestly, and I wasn't the only one who wrote about this, but it was the same issue that was going on back then. I mean, yes, you had some tension in the building surrounding Jimmy Garoppolo and the long-term plans at quarterback. Yes, you had issues around TB12 and Alex Guerrero, Tom Brady's trainer. But the bottom line was that Tom Brady wanted to play until he was in his mid-40s and wanted a contract that showed a commitment towards that, and he never got it from New England. He never got it. He didn't get it in 2017. He didn't get it in 2018, in August of 2018. He didn't get it in August of 2019, and he didn't get it in March of 2000. That's the bottom line.
So, Seth, when he redid his contract, or they had the extension onto it that ran through the 2019 season, and he had the caveat in there that they weren't able to franchise tag him, at that point, I mean, was it it was done. There was zero chance of him coming back to New England after that?
I don't believe that there was zero chance. Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated had a great piece of reporting on this in his Monday column where he said Tom was not going to beg for his job back and Bill was not going to beg him to come back. And so once those guys stood their ground as they did, that's what I think was the main thing, because really nothing changed. I mean, Tom wanted a two-year contract that showed a commitment to him, and the Patriots only saw him as a year-to-year quarterback. And if I can take a step back here, you know, this is – yeah, we want to, like, find out what happened, and, you know, fans can cast blame with whoever they want, but this is a real study in extremes. You just don't have a quarterback playing at a high level into his early – into his early 40s, and he wants to keep playing. And then you have Bill Belichick, who's the greatest coach in modern football history, if not ever. And one of the pieces of his genius is knowing exactly when to move on from a player, which is usually a year early. So when you look at it through that lens, it's kind of a miracle it lasted this long.
I agree with you. And what makes it interesting, and I'm glad you brought up Garoppolo, is that, you know, when Green Bay wanted to move on from Favre, or they would hope he would retire, they had Aaron Rodgers. They knew what they had, or they thought they knew what they had. When the Niners wanted to move on from Montana and Steve Young was there, they knew what they had. And so with Garoppolo, Belichick must have known what he had, and I think that's a really interesting part of it. Do you think, though, and I know that you wrote about this, what was the actual boiling point? I know there had to be something that whether it was the trainer, whether it was the TB12 sports thing over the Patriot way, or whether it was the Garoppolo situation. Do you think this ever got to a point of no return where it boiled over and the relationship had soured beyond repair?
You know, I just I don't know for sure, but my guess would be, you know, August of 2019, Brady almost leaving camp because he's so angry about how negotiations are going. He signs a deal that gets spun by the team as an extension when it wasn't an extension at all. It was a one-year deal that allowed him to void it and become an unrestricted free agent. And then nothing changing from then on out. You know, the Patriots never changed really their opinion of him, which is that they saw him as a year-to-year quarterback, and he wanted a two-year commitment, and that's it. I mean, you know, I know that it seems undramatic, but when you think about it, that's really it makes perfect sense.
We're talking with Seth Wickersham of ESPN.com. covering the New England Patriots, talking to Tom Brady story here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. And so, Seth, let me ask you this then. Since it was that commitment of longevity, and because, you know, playing with Tom for a year, like, I don't think it was ever about money for him. It's about really just making sure that he was going to be the starter, and however that contract looked, it would assure him that position. Do you think if he would have been offered the same deal by New England a week ago that Tampa offered him, that he would have potentially resigned?
Well, I don't know. Only he knows that. But I think that if the Patriots had said, we want you as our quarterback for the next 2 years, I think that would have been pretty tempting.
That's an interesting part of it, right? Because you don't want to make this about money. It's not about money. It's about what the contract says. And I agree with you. A couple years ago, that lack of commitment obviously soured him, the way you said it. And as he was approaching, you know, Belichick might have thought, okay, he's approaching the twilight of his career, but he was still playing at such a high level. And it's amazing to me that Belichick couldn't at least, you know, step away from his natural instinct, which is to move on from a player sooner rather than later. But this was Tom Brady. This was a legend. So when people want to talk about the public love or feeling valued and all that, you're telling me it's more about the contract and the commitment in that arena rather than the lack of commitment with the, hey, I'm going to let him swim on his own during Deflategate when he said, oh, you'll have to just ask Tom about that. You think it's more about the lack of commitment when it came to security with the contract rather than the public stuff?
Yeah, I mean, look, you play somewhere, you're going to collect slights over 20 years. But, yeah, and I think that last Super Bowl against the Los Angeles Rams, you know, it showed that the Patriots could win a Super Bowl with the offense not performing at a high level. And I don't have any particular insights into this, but I do wonder if that made this all a little bit easier for Robert Kraft to kind of stomach letting Bill do what he wanted to do, because they had showed that they could win a Super Bowl 13-3 rather than, you know, the Eagles Super Bowl was a shootout. You know, the Super Bowl against the Carolina Panthers was a shootout. You know, even the Atlanta Falcons Super Bowl was a shootout. I mean, there's five Super Bowls Tom Brady's had to lead the team from behind or from being tied in the fourth quarter to a win. And that Rams Super Bowl was just different.
No, it was. And I think that showed, like, obviously how their team had kind of changed a little bit over time. And so, you're talking about the free agent market out there, you know, Seth, you know, looking at that, were you surprised, I guess, because a lot of the interest that we initially thought was going to be there, whether it's, you know, San Francisco move on from Jimmy G's, Tennessee, you know, are they a real player? Is Indy a real player? And from, you know, what I'd kind of gathered from talking to people around the league, you know, both inside and out of some of those buildings, I don't know if, you know, those three places, which were probably the most appealing, maybe outside of Tampa that's lumped into that group, they really didn't have an interest for him. Do you think that factored into the decision at all when he was deciding to come out, that maybe he had overestimated who would value his services at this point in his career?
Yeah, it was a fascinating aspect, and I'm still trying to, you know, figure out exactly what the market was for him. But, you know, I think his preference was to go to the 49ers. They weren't, you know, they discussed it, but they weren't interested in making a change at quarterback for Brady at age 42, 43 of the season. And, you know, the Tennessee Titans picked Ryan Tannehill declaratively over Tom Brady, which is something that I can't even say without feeling like I'm, you know, making it up. I mean, who in the world would have thought a year ago you'd say that sentence? And, you know, look, yeah, at the end of the day, it was the Chargers, the Patriots, and the Tampa Bay Bucks who made offers. And the Bucks weren't even thinking that they were going to be in the Tom Brady sweepstakes. They thought they were going to have to, you know, he would go somewhere else and they'd have to make a play for Teddy Bridgewater. There were teams that did their due diligence on Tom that felt like that he wasn't going to leave the Patriots, that, you know, he was just kind of driven by animus towards Belichick, and that, you know, what he wanted was to create leverage and force Robert Kraft to intercede. Obviously, that didn't turn out to be the case.
Do yourself a favor, listeners, and go to ESPN.com and check out Seth Wickersham's story about Brady and Bill Belichick and the Patriots and the split after 20 years. It's a sensational bit of reporting, and it's incredibly intriguing. I said to Bobby earlier today, Seth, and we've talked over the last few days about this, you know, Brady's got nothing to regret, right? I mean, he's had the most legendary career. He is the best quarterback that's ever laced him up. But I said that if there was one thing that might still be there for him is to while he still can play at a high level and surround himself with great talent because he was a free agent, he got to pick his final chapter, that this would be a chance for him to actually prove to himself that maybe he could succeed without Belichick. How much of a percentage do you put on that for the move?
Well, I'm sure that it factors in some way. I mean, he's as competitive of a professional athlete that's ever existed. I do think that there's an element of self-actualization for him. And that's what I think can't be underestimated. I mean, he's someone that I've covered and I've known decently for 20 years. And I think that football for him is always about raising the bar, not in proving people wrong necessarily, but proving himself wrong, resetting his new limits, raising his own ceiling. And that's why I think that, like, yeah, as sour as things got with the Patriots at the end, what he really wanted was a new chance. I think he wanted to do something different. He wanted a different coach. He wanted a different team. He wanted different teammates. He wanted a different atmosphere. And, you know, you can't blame him after that long.
No, you can't. And if you'll just give us another 30 seconds, Bobby and I would love to know what you know about that Monday night when Brady in person went to Robert Kraft's house. Did Kraft at that point know when he's coming over, does he know it's over, or does he still think he's got a shot at keeping him?
Well, look, I mean, I think that Robert Kraft knew very well that the Patriots weren't going to move on their offer. And so I think he knew that Tom wasn't likely to stay there. He did have that quote that came out where he said, you know, I thought that Brady was coming over to, you know, quietly work out a new deal like we always do, which I thought was really fascinating for him to admit that. And then I also thought it was fascinating for him to admit to NFL Network that he kind of made this, like, clunky analogy, but, you know, that it's like being in a marriage where you really love the person, but there's a mother-in-law or a father-in-law that makes it impossible. That's one of those moments like in Washington, D.C., where you accidentally tell the truth. That, to me, he accidentally told the truth, and he put it right on Bill Belichick.
There's no question. He wanted, right, he wanted either Patriot Nation or his fan base to know that I wanted to do everything I could to keep him. I mean, you're the owner. Couldn't he have ordered Belichick? Like, couldn't he have gone in and ordered the code red?
I just don't think he wanted to force a marriage. Yeah. I don't think he wanted to force a marriage. I'm not sure that Tom would have stayed under those circumstances.
Yeah, well said. Seth Wickersham with us, ESPN senior writer. The final chapter has been written. Now a new one will be written in Tampa. Seth, we really appreciate it. Thanks for making time for us. Great work.
Thanks, guys.